Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Parsha class learning. Good morning. So, just like we say, Chazak, Chazak, Vinis, Chazek, at the end of one book.
A little higher.
Louder.
Louder?
She can't hear you.
Okay, I thought I was speaking loud. Okay, good morning. And just, I was saying that, I didn't really say anything yet, actually. I was saying that just as we say, Chazak, Chazak, Vinis, Chazek, as we finish one book of the Torah, I like to say when we begin, without Hashem's name, Baruch, Shachianu, V'kiyamanu, V'higiyanu, Lasman Hazed, is a schos, and humbling privilege to have been kept alive and brought in health to this day, to open up a new book of Torah again, and as hard as it is to leave Bereishis and the lives of patriarchs and the matriarchs, I think that we have covered a lot of ground in regard to their lives, many lessons learned this past fall, and now we begin Shemos. And I do begin Shemos, but of course, baby Moshe on the Nile River is born in this week's Parsha, and we will be with him, save for one Parsha when his name is not mentioned, but we will be with him till the end of Devarim, till the very end of his life. So with that, let us begin. The book, of course, is called Shemos, which means literally names. So I really want to talk about this inyan of names a little bit in our koach. Ve'ele shmos b'nei Yisrael habayim Mitzrayim. These are the names of the children of Israel who came down to Egypt. Of course, the exact same thing is taught us in the book of Bereishis. When Yaakov as an individual comes down to Egypt, we are taught the exact same thing. Now he's really coming down. This is a national story. B'nei Yisrael, Rav Sham Shon Fal Hirsch says, Yaakov, the name, denotes the life of one person. Yisrael denotes national, a national journey. As Yaakov, Yishu, Vesobel, Reuven, Shimon, I'm reading the beginning of Shemos, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvun, Ubinyamin, Dan, Naphtali, God, and Asher, Vayihi, Kol, Nefesh, Yotze, Yerach, Yaakov, Shivim, Nefesh, all of who came out of Yaakov's loins were 70 souls, Vyosef, Hayab, Mitzrayim, Yosef was in Mitzrayim, Vayamas, Yosef, it was good. It generally begins as good for the Jews in exile. We don't usually go down and immediately it's oppressive. It was good. And then the times change. Vayamas Yosef. Yosef died. V'chal Echav and all his brothers. V'chal Hadar Hu. And all that generation. U'bnei Yisrael Paru. And B'nei Yisrael Frufu. Vayishritzu and they're teeming. Vayirbu and they're many. Vayatzmu b'ma'od ma'od. They're very, very strong. Vatimalei ha'aretosem. And the land became filled with them. Rashi says, "Vayishusu shahayu yado shisha bekeres echad." They had six children in one pregnancy. So what happens is, we come down to Galus for whatever reason. Things are okay. It's a Medina shel chesed. They like us. They need us. We contribute to society. Is this story not the story of Knesset Yisrael from time immemorial? And something happens. And what happens is, Vayakom el chadash al Mitzrayim, a new king arose over Egypt, asher lo yada es Yosef, that did not know Yosef. There's two opinions, of course, famous opinions of Rav and Shmuel. One says he's mamash a new king. He literally didn't know Yosef. And the other one says, oh, he knew Yosef, his gezeros were new. He conveniently forgot who Yosef was. So before we go any further, I just want to add one insight, which I did not have opportunity to share anywhere. This is the first partial class of the week. I'm going back to Bereishis for a minute, but because we mentioned Yosef, it's a little bit shayach. My husband came home from shul and he said, Rabbi Friedman, in his Shavuos Drasha, said over something that never occurred to me. We spent so much time talking about Rachel and Leah. And we said, Rachel is Chesed, Leah is Gevura, Yehuda and Yosef, their sons. This is really amazing, which never occurred to me. I don't even know exactly what the lesson is. Rabbi Friedman was talking about Kolach of Tefillah and what it did for Leah. She didn't have to marry Esav, she marries Yaakov, she has six tribes. When she gives birth to Dina, right? She davened that Dina should be a girl. Dina was going to be a boy. Her tefillahs changed Dina to go. She didn't want Rachel to have less children than the Shvachos. How embarrassing. My sister should have not, because she did the math. If she has seven and each of the Shvachos have two, seven and four, how many of the Shvatim is Rachel going to have? Only one. Please let this be a girl. Dina was born, Dina's a girl. Dina's abducted by Shechem and she has a baby. The baby gets sent to Egypt and is adopted by Potiphar and Mrs. Potiphar. That's Asnas. Who does Yosef marry? Asnas. Okay. They have two children, Menashe and Ephraim. When Yaakov in last week's Parsha, see, the beginning of the Parsha still talks about Yaakov and Yosef, comes down to Egypt. He says to Yosef, Menashe and Ephraim, ki Reuven ukishimon yihiyu li. Menashe and Ephraim are like Reuven and Shimon. Yosef doesn't get a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. He's taken out as one of the tribes. And Ephraim and Menashe are put in as the tribes. And I was looking at the Mefarshim Friday night. Why did Yosef lose a chelek? Did I say Chelak? What did I say? He was taken out. Yosef was taken out of the tribes. Menashe and Ephraim are put in as Shvatim. Yosef doesn't get a portion in Eretz Yisrael. Menashe and Ephraim do get a portion in Eretz Yisrael. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Why? So the Mefarshim explained, Yosef got the status of Av. He became like a patriarch. His sons are the Shvatim. He became like a patriarch. The patriarchs don't get the Chelak. You don't have Chelak Avram, Chelak Yitzchak, Chelak Yaakov, Chelak Yosef. The Avos don't get a portion. The Shvatim got the portion. Therefore, Ephraim and Menashe got the portion. But by Freeman pointed out something unbelievable, which I'm not sure what the lesson is, but we have to figure out what the lesson is. Ephraim and Menashe, who were their grandmothers? We always talk about them being Yosef's sons, and they came from Rachel. So here, Rachel got extra portion in Eretz Yisrael. But who was really their other grandmother?
Rivka. No, you mean from the...
Leah. Ephraim and Menashe were not only Rachel's grandchildren.
From Asna.
They were Leah's. How? Who was their mother?
Dina.
Asnas. Who was Asnas's mother? Dina. Who was Dina's mother? Leah. So Ephraim and Menashe, and that helps us understand why he says, Ki Reuven ukishimon yihiyu li. They will be like Reuven and Shimon. Who were Reuven and Shimon's mothers? One second. Who were Reuven and Shimon's mothers?
Leah.
I didn't hear what you said.
She's really a great grandmother,
Leah. Yes, great grandma. Yes. Ephraim and Menashe, Asnas, Dina, Leah. Correct. That's why he says Reuven and Shimon, because Reuven and Shimon are the tribes from Leah. And what emerges is that Ephraim and Menashe are not only Rachel Yosef line, they're also the Leah line. So in these children, you have the fusing of the two sisters, or perhaps the ultimate reconciliation of the sisters, or perhaps the absolute Vatranos, the giving up of both sisters. Rachel gave up for the sake of Knesset Yisrael. Leah gave up her beloved, the chance to be the loved wife for the sake of Knesset Yisrael. And perhaps in these two, you have the fusing of the dreams and the wishes of the two sisters. And Yaakov Avinu says, Lihem, ultimately, they're all mine and they get a chilek. I thought it was fascinating. I'm bringing it up because he told on Shabbos that I never considered that Ephraim and Menashe were not only from Yosef and Rachel, but the truth is, they're from Leah as well. Yeah, any questions or comments on that? I'm not exactly sure what we learned from there. But I think it's amazing.
You could marry your cousin. You know what I'm saying? You're a cousin. You marry your cousin. You have a family.
Yes. But I'm saying, what's a deeper lesson? I don't know. I just thought it was amazing. Okay. And then the subjugation begins. All of a sudden, they don't remember what the Jews did. They don't need the Jews. The centuries or the hundreds of years or the decade of contribution. And Yosef saved. Yosef was a smart man. Ish navon v'chacham. And he saved Mitzrayim from famine. And they turn. And it begins with propaganda. Hine am b'nei Yisrael rav va'atzum mimenu. The Israelites are stronger than us. Hava nischak malo. Let us be wise against them from chacham. Pen yirbe, they're going to become so many. War will occur. They will join with our enemies. They will fight with us and they'll kick us out of the land. So, of course, it's the slander machine. He doesn't begin by saying, let's throw all the babies into the river. It begins by saying, they're bad. They're going to turn against us. They're going to be an ungrateful people. Then begins, after the propaganda machine, what comes next?
No, I just thought, I'm sorry to interrupt you, I just thought of, because Leah was mevater, when you mevater something, the totsah is that there's shock, you know, like, because she was mevater, and she thought about another person first.
Who?
Leah. She thought about her sister, right?
Rachel also.
Rachel also, they thought about each other. And each was mevater for the other. They both share the nachas.
That's very nice.
Right.
Yeah. Rachel was mevater her position as the first wife for her sister.
Right.
Leah was mevater having another shevet for her sister,
right,
and the ultimate reward of Vatronus is shalom. Mm-hmm. So here we have these two boys who are the first brothers who actually get along. Mm-hmm. The ultimate shalom bayis, shalom between brothers, and they share the nachas together. It's very nice. Isn't that amazing? It never occurred to me. Ephraim and Menashe were really from Leah. Okay.
Like you said last time, that's why we give the bracha to our children, that they should be like Ephraim and Menashe.
Correct. There's a number of reasons.
Oh, so my daughter...
There's a number of reasons.
My daughter asked on Shabbos when I was telling that over at the table, then why do we say to the girls that they should be like Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah? What is it about them that makes it a unique bracha for them? And I thought it's because each one of the imahos represented another midah that we should emulate in our lives, that Sari Imenu represented ultimate chesed, Rivka represented emunah and tefillah, Rachel showed the rachamim, and Leah showed the gevurah, and that all these things together are what a Jewish girl should really emulate.
But what was the last thing?
All these things together combined to be what a Jewish girl should emulate.
Right. So when it comes to the imahos, we see that there were outside kanyos, there were no flaws. And we want to take all the kochos and talents and strengths that they embodied and pass it on to our daughters. Okay, all very nice. After the propaganda machine, Vayasimu alav sari misim, and they appointed tax collectors, laman anoso besivlosim, in order to afflict them with their burdens. So after the propaganda machine becomes the taking away of property, and the property is not your property, it's my property, and then comes the slave labor. I am astonished every year at the beginning of Shemos at how profound and prophetic and timeless these verses are, and when we view them the way the Torah wants us to view them, how frighteningly prophetic, because this is truly the prototype and the architectural plans for our enemies. Vayivin ari miskanos paro, then comes slave labor. We built storage cities for Pharaoh, Pisum and Ramses. But something happens to the Jew. We're such an unusual people. The kasher yanu oso, the worst thing make it, kain yirba, the kain yirfot. So we become multiplied, many yirba, the kain yirfot. And so we burst forth. So what happens is there's this strange people called Knesset Yisrael, and the enemy thinks that they will manage to eradicate us, and we start to spread out through their land. They conveniently forget who we are. Stage number one. Stage number two is the propaganda machine. Stage number three is financial oppression. Stage number four is slave labor. But something bizarre happens, because the harder they try to snuff us out, Kain Yirba, the Kain Yirfot. Of course, Kain Yirfot is from the root word parrots. And one of the things that Hashem promised Yaakov Avinu when he was having his famous dream, Yaakov, the father of the Shiftekai, Yaakov who came down to Mitzrayim, and God standing at the top of the ladder, Ufaratzda Yama Vekema Tzafona Venegba Venivruchu Bechakal Mishpachos Adama. One of the things he said to him in the famous dream is, Ufaratzda, you will burst forth in the four directions of the earth, and all the families of the earth will be blessed for you. It indicates a bursting forth, or a multitude, or a populous people. The two sons of Yehuda that he had with Tamar, from which Mashiach comes, Peretz and Zerach Klai, so burst forth. So we see the same root word here. The more they oppress us, the stronger we are. And they're disgusted with their lives because of the children of Israel. The worst problem in the world is the Jewish people. And we see it in Haman. What does Haman say? He's appointed to Gdula, and he has rings and gold and jewelry and riches. He's invited to the party with Esther. V'chol zeh einenu shoveli v'chol eis asher ani ro'a es Mordechai ha-Yehudi yoshe b'shach ha-Malach. The biggest problem is the Jewish problem. V'chol zeh einenu shoveli, you are rich. You have 10 sons. You don't have trouble having children. You have a wife. We assume you're happily married. Your second, Mishnah Lamelech, I know that's Mordechai. You have everything. They're the religion of antiquity, the society of antiquity. They're so medically advanced, Egypt, architecturally advanced. How did they build the pyramids before cranes and computers? I don't know. It's a Pella. The Jew is the biggest problem. Imagine how happy the world would be today without the state of Israel. Why would they be having conferences on in France? I don't know. Why would the UN be voting on? I don't know. Vayakutsu. They're disgusted with their lives because of the children of Israel. It's the biggest problem. And Rashi says, Katsu b'chayim, they're disgusted with their lives. And the sages say, why is this word? Kikotsim hayu be'enehim. Israel are like thorns in the Egyptian eyes. Why would John Kerry talk about it if he didn't have the state of Israel? The biggest problem is a building. Now, a truck driver is ramming over. We spoke about Rahmana Letzlan, Shami Kamdama. We spoke about the four soldiers last week. We cannot forget every single one of the Kedoshim. These beginning verses to the book of Shemos are so prophetic and profound, it's frightening. But I want to talk about for a moment, Kasher Yanu Oso, Kein Yirba V'Kein Yifrotz. Oh my gosh, I just saw something.
Would you like to let us in on the secret?
Share it.
You know, sometimes we always have to see a shkacha. But sometimes davka, in many instances in life, but when, did anyone see Bina this week? Did anyone see Bina magazine this past week?
I didn't read it.
If you can get it, it's very nice. They interviewed me on my story. They wrote my story. If you can get a copy of Bina. Okay. Sometimes when you're preparing, you mamish see hashkachas Hashem without realizing it. So we spoke about this shorish, pei, resh, tzadi, paratz. Yosef, Yaakov is told, ufaratz in his dream. It indicates the ability of Klai Yisrael to burst forth. And Mashiach will burst forth. Mashiach comes from Yehuda. And here we see that the koach of the Jew is no matter what they do to us, as hard as they try, as many propaganda ministers they put over us, because what are the righteous ministers today if not propaganda ministers? And as much as they financially oppress us, and despite the slave labor, we have this ability to burst forth. I wanted to talk about for a minute, because you know I try and relate everything to current events, this miraculous koach of Knesset Israel to burst forth. So who do I like to talk about?
Miriam Peretz.
What's her last name? I really didn't know what to say.
I knew you were going there. I knew it. I just knew it.
I can't believe it. Okay. Three different people sent this to me. Because my aunt is one of them, sent it to me. She listens, she doesn't live in town. She listens to Shira online. She says, I know you like to talk about Miriam Peretz. I thought you would be interesting. But I promise you, when I prepared, it did not occur to me. I want to share this article with you, talking about the more that they oppress us and they think it will extinguish us. Yet something happens. Knesset Yisrael, by nature, beginning with Paro, we should not be here anymore. We really, like a Meiser, should not be here anymore. The resurrection of Torah after Churban Europa, Medina Yisrael, the growth of our people, we shouldn't be here. But Peretz, Vayifrotz, it's our koach to burst forth despite the oppression. Joy in the Peretz family, I can't believe it. Or Chadash Uriah, I speak so much about Miriam Peretz. Okay. Uriah was her first son who fell in the north to his Bala in 1998. His name was Uriah. Eliraz, Uriel's brother, Uriel fell in battle. Eliraz named his oldest son Or Chadash, a new light should shine, Or Chadash al Tzion Ta'ir. Uriel, Or Chadash Uriel, who's he named after? His fallen uncle. Now what happened to Eliraz in the Gaza Strip in 2010? He was killed in battle. Or Chadash Uriel, the eldest son of fallen IDF Major Eliraz Peretz, who is named after his uncle, the late Lieutenant Uriel Peretz. So his uncle was killed in battle, and his father subsequently was killed. Last week celebrated his bar mitzvah on the shul named after his uncle in Yerushalayim. The Peretz family members and many friends attended the moving ceremony alongside his grandmother Miriam and his mother Shlomit. The tefillin, which Or Chadash received, once belonged to his father. Or's uncle, Eliasaf, the youngest Peretz brother, was the one who helped him put on the tefillin for the first time in his life. Of course, he doesn't have a father. He also doesn't have a grandfather. Miriam speaks about her husband, who died at the age of 56. She says, quote, of a broken heart between the death, the falling of the first son and the falling of the second one. The Peretz family prepared a special gift for Or Chadash Uriel, Eliraz's military backpack, where he got his father's film, as well as military backpack, with a number of souvenirs inside, the Golani beret, a Tanakh, a flag of Israel, a siddur, and a letter Eliraz wrote his wife when their first son was born. Another surprise was a film which involved different people from all over the country speaking about his father Eliraz. This is not just a backpack, said his grandmother Miriam. It's the backpack of life. So you know why that's so beautiful? Because another people would say this is a backpack of death. And she says, with the outlook of the Jew, the ability of the Jews, which is Kaasher Yanu Oso Kein Yerba, the Kein Yifrots. It's a backpack of life, said Miriam. Every time your life will become difficult and you will miss your dad, you should open this bag. Let everything inside give you strength. Eliraz was an officer and deputy battalion commander in the Golani Reconnaissance Unit. He decided to join combat despite the fact that his older brother Uriel was killed in Lebanon in 98. He fell in a battle with terrorists in Gaza in 2010. He left behind his wife Shlomi and four children. Or is the oldest grandson of Miriam Peretz. She has become a symbol of bravery. On the one hand, it's great joy because Or Chadash Uriel came to celebrate a bar mitzvah, she says, a jumble of emotions. On the other hand, great sadness because his father, Eliraz, is not with him. But anyone who came here today did it for one purpose, she said, to make my grandson happy. When I saw him today, he reminded me of his father, Eliraz. We have seen today all the people of Israel came to celebrate and rejoice with us. Mark Belsberg, the chairman of One Family, who has helped the Peretz family for years, said it's a great privilege to accompany this great family, to rejoice with them and to cry with them. At the Bar Mitzvah of Or Chadash, the Peretz family is known to every Israeli. I think beyond every Israeli, they're far known. Or Chadash was six years old when his father fell. He knows him from some memories and from the family. No one has ever impressed me like Ariel, who I learned today from the memories of his beloved. So I am going to pass around the pictures. The bottom one, this is his grandmother Miriam. This is the Bar Mitzvah boy, and that is his mother, Shlomit. I'm just going to pass him around so you could see. Here he's putting on tefillin with his uncle. And this is also a beautiful picture taken through the lattice.
Can I just make one? Gourmet Glad forgot the order. So I'm sorry. So this is a Torah. Oh, Torah will be your food today.
Oyvei. Gamzu la Tova.
You should learn longer.
I'm
what?
Sorry.
You should learn longer.
Gamzu la Tova.
No, have good coffee. I'm sorry.
Okay, let's go on. Okay, so that is the koach of Knesset Yisrael, that somehow we burst forth, and I think that it's not by accident that the story and the illustration that I chose to bring with this lesson is the Peretz family, and it's the unbreakable Jew, and it's the spirit that is never extinguished. You know, my grandfather, Alav Hashalom, came, we lived in Israel in the 1990-1991 school year, was the year of the Gulf War, and he came for the Shalosh Regalim, I think that it was Pesach, and he said in Yiddish, as we stood before the Kotel on the high steps, looking down the Duchen at the Birkat Kohanim with tens of thousands of Jews, and he said in Yiddish, who would have ever thought I would live to see this in my lifetime? And we have a tremendous koach that the more they abuse us and the more they oppress us, from there our strength comes. And nevertheless, vayikutsu mipnei b'nei Yisrael, vayavidu, they're disgusted by us, we spoke about that already, vayavidu mitzrayim es b'nei Yisrael b'farach. Mitzrayim worked the children of Israel with back-breaking labor. Ba'avoda kasha, says Rashi, hard work, hamifarechas es haguf, that crushes the body, umishabarto, and breaks it. So, I pointed this out, I think maybe last year, I don't remember, but it struck me as unbelievable. I think I did, because I think someone here said it. When's the only other time in the Chumash that we see this shorish used? Befarach. Right, so I think it was you who said it last year also, that's what I remember. So, interesting. What's the parochas in the Mishkan? A partition. Right? The kaporis is the cover for the aron. The parochas is the partition. So Rav Shem Shemfal Hirsch points out they work this befarach, and we just saw that Rashi says hard work breaks the body, back-breaking labor. So perhaps what is the Torah trying to tell us here? Parochas is a partition. So a couple of things. First of all, with this slave labor, they divide us. It's a division of the Jew. Hello.
Sorry to interrupt. Harry just asked me to announce that pizza and fruit is on the way.
Oh, that what? Pizza and fruit is on the way.
Oh, wow.
Even better.
Ladies, Yeshua Hashem clarified.
Amen.
Okay, very nice. Okay, so let's talk about this word befarach for a minute. Targum Onkelos translated as bekashio, with difficulty, with hardness. But befarach, it's fascinating that it also means a partition. So we can learn a couple of lessons from here. Number one, through the hard work, through the hard labor, what they strive to do is divide us from them. We're not like them. You're separate from us. You're divided. Klal Yisrael should not mix with them. But what's unbelievable is the truth is, the Torah tells us, we should not mix with them. So perhaps another deep lesson is, number one, the hard work and the propaganda and the oppression divides us from them. But another thing that we could say, the parochas divides between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadashim. And we have to remember, we are Kodesh HaKadashim. It's, dare I say, if we don't remember we're separate than them, if we allow the ways of the land to fill us, if we don't remember to put up a curtain, even while we live amongst them as well, and we have to live amongst them, we do live amongst them, we have to be mentioned, we have to be respectable, we have to be honest, but we have to remember to put up our own curtain, our own proverbial divider between us and Knesset and the Umos HaOlam. And if we forget to put up a divider, then who reminds us? They do. And they put it up for us. Did someone have a comment on that?
That's beautiful, Shem.
Yeah.
It's sobering. The beginning of Shemos is just very, I don't know, profound.
Amen. I had a comment really relating to how difficult life gets for us. Often, the Jewish people are compared to an egg. Why? Because when you put an egg into boiling water, the more you boil it, the harder you make it, the harder the egg becomes.
Okay, very nice. Maybe that's one of the reasons, talking about Shemos and the Shibu Mitzrayim, the Korban Chagiga, we have an egg to remember at the table. And Chag is the root word. It's a festival. It helps remind us of who we are, never mind that it's realm, which is the cycle of life. And this could not be a more beautiful example, this parrot's family, than the cycle of life. Just as one generation falls, the other generation rises and gets up stronger. I'm not, God forbid, in any way, shape, or form. I hope you understand that, but I make it very good. Minimizing the pain or the unspeakable loss to this family, but nevertheless we have to learn from their courage and their ability to burst forth, and it should be a tremendous, tremendous inspiration to every single one of us, both on an individual level, on a national level. Vayimaru eschayehim, then comes, we just spoke about Chagiga, now comes the Marar. Vayimaru eschayehim, they embitter their lives with hard work, with bricks, with a vein, mortar and bricks, b'chol avoda basada, every work they could imagine for us, whether they need it or they don't need it, now they're assigning it to us. Excuse me, all the work that they worked us, again, the appearance of the word befarach. So we go down, and we're welcomed, and we contribute. And that generation dies, and times change, and the winds of war pick up. And we saw the propaganda machine, it's all in here. First Pharaoh slanders us. Tax collectors, slave labor, and then the Torah makes a point of telling us how disgusted they are with their own lives because of the children of Israel. We see that occurring today. Almost a fanatical obsession with the Jew and the state of Israel. It's such an illogical, fanatical obsession. But nevertheless, despite the curtain, the partition, here we are. And how? Then they take it a step further. And the king of Egypt says to the Hebrew midwives, one of them is Shifra and one of them is Pua. We know that they're famously, Shifra is Yochaved. Why? Because even in the difficult times, the spirit of the Jew and the kindness and the compassion of the Jew, the Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomei Chasadim, Al Shem Shemisha Paras Es Havalad, she would beautify the child. In the deepest times, we never give up. Pua, Zu Miriam. Al Shem Shepoa Umidaberis Vahogal about poo 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 poo. She coos and coos to the baby, just like women who try and appease a crying infant. So when we talk about why don't we limit Benos Yisrael to one or two persona, we want the koach of every Jewish woman. All the imams contributed so beautifully to Knesset Yisrael. It's that compassion and that chesed and that gevura and that emuna, like you mentioned, and the tefillah they all exhibited, and they're tremendous heroines. A tremendous heroines. You know, the Torah isn't only built on the avos and the patriarchs and male leaders and the Moshes and Aarons, and of course we need them, and where would we be without them? Torah, Moshe, Avdi, but we can't forget to give credit to where Shimshon Pinkus calls, and I quoted in the Bina article, Shimshon Pinkus says, the Jewish woman is the most important asset to Klal Yisrael. That's a quote. Rav Shimshon Pinkus says in his Nefesh Chaya, the Jewish woman is the most important asset to Klal Yisrael. And when you look at this family who has lost their patriarchs and who has lost, these children lost their father, who really is filling the role here, the mother Miriam and the mother Shlomit. So Pharaoh calls them, and he says, when you help these Hebrews give birth, and you see on the birth stool that it is a girl, she could live, and if you see that it is a boy, what should happen to the boy? We should kill him. They didn't do like the king of Egypt spoke to them, and they kept the boys alive. Rashi says they would supply them with food and water. So in other words, they would go lifnei mishur sadin. It wasn't simply that they helped the mothers and then they said, have a nice day. They would take time to beautify the child, coo to the child. Imagine if they're having six at once, this is a hard job, and actually sustain them and keep them alive. So Pharaoh calls them, why did you do this? And you kept the boys alive. You know, and then they say, the Hebrew women are not like the Mitzrayos, they are like animals. When we come to them, they already gave birth, and God did good for them. So this ties into what you said. The Mida avatranus leads to shalom and nachas, ultimately. They were mevater, ultimately, on their lives. Because what could Pharaoh have said when he called them back? Into the river for you. Thank you very much, but you defied my command. So in their ultimate vatranus, their ultimate, how do you explain the word vatranus? Giving up something. What did he say?
There was three crowns.
Three
Ataros, right. No, but I'm talking about the Mida of Atranus, their self-sacrifice on behalf of these Jewish women, Vayatzmu Ma'od, and that's the greatest reward, Vayatzmu Ma'od. And it was, why did they do this? What was their ultimate Mida? Their Yirei Shamayim. Vayu Kiyaru HaMiyaldos Es HaLokib. The Jewish women, the midwives, were God-fearing. And therefore, yes, Hashem gave them Bate Kohuna, Leviya, and Malchus. He made for them houses. And then power goes to drastic measures. And you know, this is when they're willing to sacrifice their own children to kill the Jews. And don't we see that today? Yeah. Mamash, today in 2017, yeah. I don't know if you saw that last week, the mourners, the terrorist family, Yimach Shmo, put up a mourning tent, and they were celebrating, and they interviewed his sister, Yimach Shmo, and she said, this is the greatest thing that could ever happen, that her brother was a martyr. So not only do they lose respect for Jewish lives, they now have no concern for their lives. Yitzav paru l'chol amo lemor. It doesn't matter, Jew or Gentile, Israeli or Palestinian, it doesn't matter who. The only objective is to destroy the Jewish people. L'chol amo, he doesn't care anymore. Af aleihem gazar, says Rashi, even on the Egyptian people he decreed. Why? Yom shenolad Moshe. Because who did the astrologer say to him? Hayom nolad Moshe. And you know, today their savior is going to be born. We don't know if he's Egyptian or if he's Israeli. And we see he will be stricken by water. Therefore, he said, even the Egyptians throw every male into the river. The astrologers did see something. He was stricken by
Maimarie. The Egyptian kids also into the water?
What?
They threw the Egyptian children into the water, to the boys?
Yes.
That's what she's saying on that day.
I don't know.
L'chol amo. Kol haben ha'yilad ha'yar tashlichuhu, every male who is born shall be thrown into the river, v'chol habas t'chayun, and every female, she may live. So the hatred of the umos ha'olam becomes so rabid, it's what we're seeing today, that they are actually happy to sacrifice their own children. If it means the death of the Jew, only someone on that level could say about their brother, this is the most beautiful thing. I saw that the terrorist, I believe he was married with a child of his own. All life becomes utterly meaningless when the sole objective is the Jewish people. Okay. Nevertheless, Kali Show continues. And the very next words are, despite the decree. What's the very next thing we're told? Parag Beis. Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, vayikachas bas Levi. And why Dafka? We know, of course, who it is. Who is it? Amram and Yocheven. There's a beautiful Gemara, and the Gemara tells us that Amram was the Gadol Hadar. The Gemara uses those words. You know, we think it's something new that we came up with in today's day and age. The Gemara says he was the Gadol Hadar. And he said to his wife, Leshav anu amelim. We're working for nothing. What is the point of bringing children into this hell that is Egypt? We're working for nothing. And Miriam, the daughter with foresight, came over talking about the Benos Yisrael and the nameless Jewish heroines in every generation. And Miriam is the one who said to him, you're worse than Pharaoh. Pharaoh decrees on the males, you decree on the males and the females. Pharaoh decrees, continues the Gemara, only on Olam Haza. Because Olam Haza. But you decree that the Neshama can't be brought down to Olam Haza to go up to Olam Haba. And he took her rebuke, or her tochacha, or you could say her constructive advice, so to speak, and he remarried. But the juxtaposition of Kol haben ha'yilad ha'yar tashlichuhu, contrasted to Vayelech ish mibeis Levi, Vayikachas bas Levi, is so beautiful, because again, it is the courage of Knesset Yisrael to continue on. I remember reading a few years ago, I knew I wasn't going to remember her name, the women on the bus, they lived in the Gaza Strip. I'm going to remember after class. Hopefully I'll remember during class. She was pregnant with her son and her four daughters. They were on the bus. And the terrorist, no, there's a picture of them on the bus. Her and her four daughters, the terrorist, she was 9 months pregnant with the couple's first son. And Yimach Shmam, they were killed. All four daughters and the wife, unborn son. Anyone remember? Okay, it goes back a few years ago. My point is that a few years later, the husband remarried, and he started a new family. There is such an unbreakable spirit in Knesset Yisrael. And that's, I'm really trying very much for us to understand how this book is so alive, and it is so relevant, and we can never look at the Torah as antiquated. It is relevant in every generation. But I was thinking, I wrote in my notes, I did perhaps that, underline the vihi, boxed, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. What did I write to myself when I was preparing? It came to me like an epiphany. We say, we're talking about Shiva Mitzrayim. Shiva Mitzrayim, of course, is the Yom Tov of Pesach, which isn't in such a long time. And we're going to sit down, Miriam Peretz says it, because her second son, Kil, Eli Raz, was killed. They came to tell her, Erev Shabbat HaGadol. So there was barely any Shiva, and she says, we sat down at the Seder, and we picked up our kosot, and we said, V'hisha amda la voseinu velanu, it is this that has stood for our forefathers and us. Shalo acha bilvar amar aleinu l'chaloseinu, I don't think I have to translate these words, ala shabachol dar vadar mamdim aleinu l'chaloseinu, and she said, in Uriel's time it was Hezbollah, and in Ali Raz's time it was Hamas. But I was thinking to myself, maybe that's the Vihi. Of course, it's an acronym, Vav Vishisha Sidre Mishnah, Hey is Chamishe Chum Shetar. When we talk about Mitzrayim and these beginning parashios, of course, much of what we have read today is incorporated into the text of the Haggadah, into Leil HaSeder. So, Shisha Sidre Mishnah, Chamishe Chum Shetorah, Yod is Aser Sadibros, and Aleph is the knowledge that Hashem is Echad, that even, no matter where we are, even as mightily as they strive to destroy us, we hang on to the Torah, and that's the source of our strength. In fact, and I just saw it again yesterday, I was preparing with Salvechik, brings down, there's a medrash that says, it's unbelievable, the Jews in Egypt learned from the scroll of Bereshit on Shabbos. That's all they had at the time. The Torah obviously wasn't given, but they had Briyas HaOlam, and they had the formation of Knesset Israel, and there's a Medrash that says they would learn from scrolls of Bereishis on Shabbos. Unbelievable thing. So the Vehi is, no matter where we go, no matter what they do to us, we hang on to the Mesorah of Torah. Vav is Shisha Sidre Mishnah, Hey is Chamishi Chumshei Torah, Yud is Aser Sadibros, and Aleph is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echad. Why am I saying this? Oh, because what I was thinking is another insight to Vehi, which occurred to me when I was preparing, and that is perhaps the Vehi, because it's ambiguous, right? It is this that has stood for our forefathers and us. So the question, of course, is what's this? So it leads open to interpretation. So we just gave one shot, which we help understand in light of today's parsha. But perhaps we can also say that Vehi is just the pashut, and I'm putting that in quotes, amuna and courage of every Jew. Vehi she'amla, it is the courage, it is the peretz, it is the ability to burst forth, it is the ability for a man to take a woman and to get married, despite the edict that has just gone out. Every child into the river, and you're going to get married? Yes, because that's vehi. It's the courage and strength of Knesset Yisrael. It's my grandfather standing there and saying in Yiddish, who would have ever thought I would live to see this in my lifetime. He was a young child in the First World War. His father died when he was 1.5. Lost his family in Churban Europa, Shem Yinkom Damam. Where did Medina Yisrael come from? Where did all those millions of Jews, although Avda Tikva Teinu, a Tikva Bat Shnat Alpaim, where did that all come from? V'hi she'amdala v'seinu. It is the courage and the faith and the fortitude and the bursting forth and the refusal to give up. And the more they strive, Kain Ya'anu Oso Kasher Ya'anu Oso Kain Yerba, the Kain Yifrot. And perhaps that's an allusion to the ultimate Mashiach, because of course Yehuda, whose Malchus had Peretz and Zerach with Tamar, Mashiach comes from Peretz. Perhaps this Kain Yerba, the Kain Yifrot, is an allusion to the ultimate end of days, because we never give up. We will be Zoha to see the ultimate Mashiach. And that is why Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph, is an anonymous man and an anonymous woman. We said the Gemara tells that it's Amram and Yocheved. And the Gemara tells us about Miriam. Aaron was already born, her parents got back together, here comes baby Moshe in the next Pasa, okay? But why is it anonymous? On purpose. Because it could be any Jewish man, and it could be any Jewish woman in any time who has chosen to defy the edict of murder and destruction. And we stand up and we say, you won't do this to us. Yes?
I mean, just the fact that all the people who survived World War II got married in DP camps and got married after everything that they went through, that they got married and they started families again, that's exactly what they're
That's the point about. I'm really trying
right,
to bring out.
Exactly.
On my four grandparents, I know that there are some at this right. table as well. I hope that I'm speaking in a very respectful tone. On my four grandparents, lost families, my brother 3 years ago, it was just her birthday. My brother 3 years ago has a Rivka Bracha. Rivka Bracha was my mother's half sister, my grandmother's first daughter, and now there's a new Rivka Bracha. She should live and be well. I'm really trying. I hope I'm not chalila causing undue pain. God forbid. It's not my intention. But it's not only Churban Europa, it's today in Eretz Yisrael. It's really in every generation. But we're here. And now that we're here, we're learning Torah. And now we're learning Torah, the children are in yeshivas. And now the children are yeshivas, there's a next generation. And that's really the peretz. And that's the bursting forth. And as difficult as it is to sometimes be a Jew, and I told this to my son after the three boys were found, is it almost 3 years in the summer?
Yeah.
Wow. It's almost 3 years in the summer. And my son was 8.5. It was very difficult for him. He was mamish crying like an adult. It was a little scary, the depth of his pain. I asked him if he wanted to speak to his Rosh Hashiva. I was afraid for his emuna. But I still remember at the time I was sitting next to him on the bed, and I said to him, as difficult as it is sometimes to be a Jew, it's also very, very beautiful. When we make the bracha, shalom asani goy, we have to keep this in mind. Vatahar isha, and the woman became pregnant, she gave birth to a son. Vatera oso ki tofu, even on the level of pshat, the house radiated light, but just on the level of the pshat, that someone could see tov in such a situation is an unbelievable thing. That the Torah could say that this woman saw ki tov is unbelievable, reminds us of the koch of Yosef. Yosef is the father who sent us down. We began by speaking about Yosef as the status of Av. He's the Av who sent us down to Galus. When he meets the butler and the baker in jail, they're in jail. He's in jail for 12 years. Not so good down in jail. And nevertheless, 1 second. I don't have with me, it's on the Vayeshiv. It doesn't matter. And he sees on the butler and the baker that one day, Pneichem zo afim, their faces are like distressed. And he says to them, Lama Pneichem ra'im hayom, why are your faces bad today? The opposite of tov is ra. What do you mean, why are your faces bad today? We're in jail. Why are you happy today? What do you mean, why are you asking me why I'm in face? But you've been here for 12 years. No, by then he was there for 10 years. You've been in jail for 10 years. And you have the ability to say to a fellow prisoner, you know, why are you so distressed? Pick yourself up of it. It's not so bad. That's the koch that Yosef passed down. Vayamas Yosef, v'chal acha, v'chal hadar hahu. They only died physically, but spiritually their mesorah lives on. And the fact that the Torah could even say, on the level of the pshat, v'tevi oso kitovu, she saw that he was good. When it's such a matzav, is a testament to the fact that we always have to strive to see the tova. And the Medrash tells us Moshe. This is, of course, referring to Moshe. Besides, to the fact that the name his Egyptian adopted mother gave him. I'm just trying to think of something. 1 second. We started saying that Leah, Ephraim, and Menashe, of course, also come from Asnas. Asnas is Leah's granddaughter. It's interesting that Leah's descendants are adopted by Egyptians. I'm just pointing that out. Because what happens here to Moshe? Who raises him? Who adopts him? Baya. It's interesting. Vatetei Dina bas Leah v'asher yalda l'Yaakov liros bivnos ha'aretz. She went out to see the ways of the land. Maybe a little bit mida kenega mida. Hashem said, "You're going out to see the ways of the land. Your children will be." It's a little bit powerful. Ki tov, the child is good, but she has to hide him. And again, unfortunately, I remember the name of the terrorist and not the name of the Israeli family. Samir Kuntar Yemach Shmo v'zichro, who got out on a prisoner exchange, Rahman al-Litzan, who was subsequently killed in an Israeli airstrike. In the 70s, he landed on the beach. They came from the north. Does everyone remember? They unfortunately went into a house, and the mother suffocated her own child, trying to keep the baby quiet. Then they took the father and the daughter down to the beach. They smashed their heads on the rocks. He was released from Israeli prison. He was subsequently killed in an airstrike. He should have his payback in Gehenna for eternity. But you have to hide. You have to hide the child. She has to hide him for 3 months. And sometimes we have to. And I know it's very difficult, and it's very painful, and it's very sobering, and it's very unpleasant. But this is what the Torah is telling us. We can't skip over the parts of the Torah because they're unpleasant and sobering and painful and difficult. And this is who we are as a people. But from here comes the strength. She can't hide him anymore, going through many insights. She puts him in a little basket on the water. What's the basket called? Oh, I love this next insight. Ready? Vatikach lo tevas. Who does the teva remind you of?
Noah.
Okay. Ready? Okay. A man named Michael Gervis, B'Shem Arma, shared this with me for the first time in Israel on the Thanksgiving program. He was part of the program. He came over to me. And subsequently, I found it brought down. I was so excited when I found it brought down because I actually sent it to him by email. I said, I think he'll be interested in this. It's really brought down by the Mefarshim. Fabulous. Ready? What was Noach's lacking? What is Noach faulted for? He didn't daven. Noach's unbelievable Torah personality. Why? He never talks. I've said it before, I can't get over Noach. Look at the story of Noach. The only time he finally talks is when he wakes up from his drunken stupor and he arucham and he gives a bracha and yafes el kim yafes vishkan ba'al yishem. The only time he talks is to give a bracha to a child and to give a curse. The whole story of Noach. Minim pergvav, pergzai, perchas, perchas. Doesn't talk. God says you should do and he does. That's not always so good. The Torah wants us to be active people. Is Moshe always silent? Moshe, with his speech impediment, who says, I can't talk, spends his whole life talking. God does not want us to be mute, deaf, I mean that proverbially, people. Within what God wants of us, we have to take initiative. Go out, teach, be daven. Noach never uttered one tefillah on behalf of his people. Not one. They all drowned. How many years did he build a table for? 120. Started when he was 480, the flood comes when he's 600. Okay, Rashi tells us he was building for 120 years. Why is 120 familiar? We're talking about Moshe.
His life.
How long did Moshe live for?
120 years.
Why did Moshe spend his whole life doing for Klal Yisrael?
Davening.
Davening. Ready? Moshe is a tikkun for Noach. And that's why he starts his life in? Oh no, this was told to me by Rabbi Taub. Rabbi Moshe Taub of Holliswood. Michael Gervis added a different insight. Rabbi Moshe Taub of Holliswood shared this with me. Why does Moshe begin his life in a teva? It says, Vatikach lo tevas goma. She takes him a reed basket. She smears it with tar. She puts him in and she puts him on the water. He begins his life in a teva floating on water. Noach's life culminated in a teva floating on water. Noach had 120 years. You couldn't say one tefillah? Please, God, maybe it's not such a good idea. Maybe I could get them to repent. In 120 years, he wasn't able to convert one person to mutav. Not one. Moshe spent his whole life encouraging, exhorting, bringing the people to mutav, making them daven, davening for them. At the end of his life, we see they call out directly to Hashem on their own. Moshe's life is a tikkun for the failing of Noach. The world was destroyed in the time of Noach with water after 120 years of building. The world of Knesset Israel was saved with Moshe's teva on the water, and therefore he was ocha to live for 120 years. And if you know, when we give a people a bracha, how long should they live for? Yosef, we just left him. He died at the age of 110. That's a nice long life. Yitzchak died at the age of 180. Avram at 175. Yaakov, 147. Why do we stop at 120? Because perhaps we're saying, be like a Moshe. Be misaking those 120 years of silence. Don't be a deaf mute. Open your mouth within the framework of halacha and Torah. Inspire people. Inspire yourself. Daven for people. Use your mouth for chesed. Talking about the Bnos Yisrael. V'toras chesed al shono. Don't keep your mouth quiet. And therefore, Rabbi Moshe Taub shared with me, he began his life in a teva on water, and he lived for 120 years. His tefillos and his tafkid were a tikkun, a rectification for Noach's failure. What did Michael Gervis share with me? And then this, I found this and I was so excited. The flood of Noach is called in Tanakh, Mei Noach. He's faulted for the flood. Why is he faulted? Because of what we just said. He was too passive. Even his name means passivity. Noach means? Yes. Quiet, Manoach. That's exactly who he was. May Noach. He's faulted. It's the waters of Noach. It's called on his name. Just like in Kitisa, the eagle, it says, it's a eagle asher asu Aaron. The eagle is called by Aaron's name. So Michael Gervis came over to me, and I loved it at the time, and then I actually found it brought down. If Moshe is a tikkun through his tefillah for Noach, what does he say to Hashem? When Hashem says, I'm going to start a new people, I'm going to destroy the people, which is what God said to Noach, and Noach was silent, he kept his mouth shut. You want to destroy them? No problem. As long as you're saving me and Nama and my three sons and my daughters-in-law, okay, may Noach. That's how narrow-minded you are, that's how selfish you are, that's how narrow your vision are, you can't encourage one person, Menoch, it's your fault. What does God say to Moshe? I'm going to destroy everyone and save you. What does Moshe say?
No, kill me too.
What does he say?
He says, wipe me off from your book.
What's the word?
Right.
Shh. Put those letters together. It's the same letters as?
Oh, wow.
Okay, what Moshe says, for anyone who did not hear, is if you're going to do this, God, mechenina, misifcha asher katafta, erase me from the book which you have written. If you're getting rid of the whole Knesset Yisrael, I don't want to be in this either. He davened for the people. Mechenina, mem, ches, yud, nun, aleph, is the same letters as mei, noach. Moshe's life was the absolute tikkun for it. It's unbelievable. So putting together Rabbi Moshe Taub taught me, and Rabbi Michael Gur was shaluk me saying b'shem Amram because it's maybe geula le'olam, and don't we knew we could use the geula? Also, I don't want to take credit for something that I didn't come up with, but mecheni na misifrecha sher katavta is the ultimate tikkun. I am not going to let these people go down. I am going to pray. They're sinners. Doesn't matter. I'm still going to daven for mechila for the people. Noach's people were also sinners. And he didn't have the koach, the fortitude, the courage, the compassion, the foresight, the peret, the ability to burst forth for somebody else. He was only concerned with himself. Moshe's the ultimate tikkun. And that's why it's tevas gom. He begins in a teva on the river to be misakin the failure of Noach. And that's why Noach is not considered one of the avos, nor is he one of the leaders. He's an important guy. He's righteous in his generation. But he can't be the founder or the savior of Knesset Yisrael. Why? That's not who our people are. He doesn't have the ability to burst forth from Tzara. He's too concerned with self-sustenance. That's fine. But even in a time of difficulty, think about somebody else. Moshe never wanted the opportunity to be the main guy. His whole tafkid, and we meet him in this week's parasha, his whole tafkid was putting himself out for others. Even here, at the beginning of his life, he puts himself on the river to save his parents, so to speak, so that they should not be found with a Hebrew child in their home. And how beautifully, ki lo ish devar manochi, this is parsha, gam miltmam, gam shoshab, I'm not a man of words. How beautifully, the man who thinks he does not have the koach to speak, to exhort, to encourage, to rebuke, to love, to daven, becomes and finds the man of words. And that's what we have to learn. We began by speaking about the brachos, Yisim Chalkim, Kafraim, Kemenasha, the kolchos of the Jew, kolchos of the forefathers, the male leaders, the kolchos of the matriarchs, the quiet Jewish heroines. By the way, I just want to talk about her tongue, but her name's Bas Paro. I call her the first righteous Gentile. I'm not talking about the level of drash that says she converted Ba'ya, the daughter of God. I'm talking about the mamash. If we're looking at many lessons from the level of pshat today, drawing it down to our time, that's who Ba'ya was. She was a righteous Gentile. She knew he was a Hebrew. She opens the ark, v'hine na'ar bocha v'tachmal alav. That's the key ingredient in a righteous Gentile. She has mercy. And she knows who the child is. After we are told that she's a compassionate person, oh my gosh, why is our time up? This is a Hebrew child. And again, we see the courage. This ancient scene on the river of long ago is an exchange between two brave, brave, courageous women who saved the Savior of Israel, who rose to the task of rectifying the wrong that Noah did, who encourages us, who imbues with us the ability. This whole story is our story from time immemorial. They hound us, they oppress us. They rejoice in our downfall. They rejoice in their children's loss if it means we will be killed. But nevertheless, we have the ability. Of course, the ultimate parrots, the ultimate bursting forth will be the light. Kitovu, ultimate light of Mashiach. But I just want to, one word. I began by saying I'm going to talk about the kochos of the name. And perhaps after preparing for the shir, it dawned on me, why Shemos is called Shemos. It's also nicknamed, a.k.a. Sefer HaGeula, the Book of Redemption. You know, the Sheba takes a very small place, even though we have to focus on it because it's in there. It's only in the beginning of Shemos. By Perek Gimel, we're already at the snare. Chapter 3 and 4 are already at the snare. At the end of chapter 4, verse 14, God says, you have to go, and Moshe goes. So why is it called Shemos? Because it's the ability of the people to stay true to our names. And maybe that's why it begins by listing Yaakov and Yosef and the Shvatim. Because we're always proud of who we are. It's the names of the patriarchs, the matriarchs. It's the names of the giants who came before us. They give us the koach to persevere. It's taking pride in who we are. It's remembering who we are. They forget, they conveniently forget, we always remember. And it's that shame that we can always hold on to and so proudly that brings us to Geula. Sefer Shemos is also Sefer Geula. So Be'ezras Hashem should be zocha to learn what Hashem wants us to learn. We should live how Hashem wants us to live. And we should always remember the lessons of Shemos. The more they try, the stronger we will be. Until the ultimate parrots, yes.
You know, I think this Sedra does something to us. We feel we know what it's all about. We've been there. But you see where it comes, a generation came up that did not know Yosef. How convenient is it? Don't we see now what happens in Israel? All of a sudden they don't want to know history. They don't want to know, conveniently.
Right.
And we see every day, just reading the paper, we see how the pressure is rising against Israel. Every day you see something that is more pressure. And if this is something that it's not news to us.
Right.
And we really see now, when I said the whole Dorador, Omerim Aleim Elechalosim. So,
it's not new,
we
that's
to
correct.
Be strong and do what we have to do.
Amen.
And not to be quiet.
Not to be quiet. Isn't that what we said about Moshe? It's a beautiful way not to be quiet. Noach was too quiet. Very nice. Amen. Anything else?
Beautiful.
Okay, thank you, ladies.
Thank you.